Amen. All right, so the book of Luke, let's go there. Chapter 2, very familiar verse. We're going to talk about it tonight, today. But let's pray. Father, we just pause for a moment. Lord, and just put all of our focus on you and everything that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this year. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our church family. Lord, like Adam said, Lord, thank you that we can have fun and we do love you. We do appreciate you, appreciate the gift you've given us. But we can come together and we can have a good time and we can enjoy each other's company. And there's times when it's good to be serious. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we laugh. Lord, we just love you. Thank you for the gift you've given us through your Son. Lord, we lift up our missionaries and our military around the world. I ask you to help them during this time. Or even during my little prayer time this week, I remembered that me getting saved in November 1984 in Okinawa, Japan. I remember that first Christmas I spent alone in that Kwanzaa hut. Ugh. Anyway, I'm glad I knew you. Thank you for everything you've done in our life. Lord, help me with this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Kwanzaa hut. Anybody know what that means? Some of you do. But yeah, I thought about that this week. You know, it was just a precious little thought. I didn't mean to put it in my prayers, but that's okay. Yeah, I got saved in November of 1984 in Okinawa, Japan. And I was in a squad bay. If you're ever in the Navy, or some of you old guys know what I'm talking about, it's just a room maybe about, as long as this church, bunch of bunks sitting beside each other, bunk beds, and had a little foot locker. And my bunk mate, you know, asked me, told me about Jesus. At that time, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. But anyway, remember they bombed the barracks over there? Anyway, I don't want to get in that. I gave my life to Jesus. And that first Christmas, Lynn sent me Christmas cards. Remember that? I had a little picture of me looking sad. But that's beside the point. Maybe I should share that story. Nah. No. All right, let's read. No. Okay. Another time. All right, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I'm starting up over there. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. So let's go ahead and read through this. Very familiar verse, but we're going to read it. Here we go. It says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, most of us have a picture in our heads of these shepherds, of maybe these humble, wise men sitting around the fire while their sheep rested at night. But the truth is, shepherding was a despised occupation. They were looked down on in society. In the first century, shepherds were generally mocked as these shiftless people who traveled around. They were looked at as dishonest people, and you really shouldn't trust them. And mainly because they grazed their flocks on other people's land. In other words, they were free grazers. People didn't like free grazers. Anybody remember the movie I'm referring to a little bit? They didn't like free grazers, so they were despised and looked down on. They were not this Hallmark version that we've created in our mind. Okay? Nothing further is really from the truth. But notice this. Notice this. Who did the angels come to first to deliver this news to the world? It was the shepherds. Now, isn't that interesting? That's kind of strange, really. If I would have been in charge, you know, of the angel marketing team, I probably would have done it a lot differently. I'd have had some kind of high-def presentation, you know, big widescreen. That's what I probably would have done, you know. Come on. It's the Savior of the world being born. And I'd probably had them dancing and running down the streets, shouting, "Wake up! Wake up! Hey, hey, look, look, this is what's happening." I believe the angels should have at least went and talked to the leaders in the area. The governor should have woke him up and said, "Hey, this is going on, and come on, look what's happening in Bethlehem." I mean, they at least should have went to Herod. I mean, come on, he was the current king of Judea. They should have woke him up and said, "Hey, God is doing this great, awesome thing. The King of Kings is being born." I mean, really think about it. Moses, right? When Moses, you know, was born, God just shot him right to the top. Went right to the top, right to Pharaoh. But the angels that night, instead of telling somebody important, announced the Messiah's birth to a ragtag bunch of shepherds. Let's all don't miss the simple message that's tied up in this beautiful Christmas story. Probably more than likely, that's not what we would have told them to do. Honestly, you know, it didn't make sense to me, really. But that's not what God wanted to do. This is what God wanted to do. And why? You ever think about why? Why did he do it this way? And looking at this scripture this week, I thought, well, it's his way, and he's going to do what he wants to do. But really, the message to me that really got in my heart this week was that he presented this to ordinary people. He came for them. I know he came for everyone. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he came for the sick. He came for the lost. He came for the ordinary people. And this story right here, this Christmas story that we sing about, we act, we talk about, we preach about, is really the heart of God. And it's the real true meaning of the birth of this holy child. This is really a graphic picture of Jesus, the one that's called to save the world. And he comes to a lowly, outcast folks. Okay, it's reminding us that Jesus came to shepherds. It reminds us that Jesus came to us. He come to us. Because it's very difficult to get saved if you're full of a lot of pride. You have to really begin to see yourself as a sinner, broken, lost. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, if you can't see your need to get saved, and you may or may not eventually get saved. When God calls you and you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and that's when real true salvation comes in. Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, but He came for you. You're a shepherd. He came for you and you and you, and He came for me. He came to the shepherds, guys. Don't overlook that. He did not come to the religious high and mighty. He did not come to the political people that day. He didn't come to the religious leaders of that day. Okay? The angels came to shepherds. People who were doing what they normally do in their life. They were working their normal lives, taking care of their families, people going through the routines of life in their ordinary lives. And to me, in studying this, this is what the birth of Jesus is really all about. It's about God meeting us. God meeting us, not just on Sunday or some holy day that we've selected, but meeting us on ordinary days, in ordinary places, in an extraordinary way. See, the birth of the Holy Child is about God coming to us in our everyday lives. And He's saying to us, everybody listen, and He's saying to us, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I proclaim to you the good news. You see, it's about God coming to us in our pain, in our loneliness, in our sadness. It's about God meeting us in our frustration, our anger, our agitation, our confusion. It's about God coming to us on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's about God really wanting to be a part of our everyday lives. I think that's why God sent the angels to the shepherds, to let us know that this holy child was, yes, for all people, but He was also for ordinary folks. Now, allow me to read you a little story. And I used to tell this story a lot when Lena and I were traveling around. We traveled a lot, preached to hundreds of churches when we had our college ministry at Valdosta State, which they were in the national championship game last night, but they got a little spanked, but at least they were there, right? Amen. But back when we were serving there as campus ministers, it was Valdosta State College. Everybody remember that? And, mainly, let me read this story to you. I read this in an article years and years ago. Are you ready? His name was Bill. He had wild hair, wore a t-shirt with holes in it, jeans and shoes with no socks. This was his wardrobe during 4 years of college. Though mildly eccentric, he was a brilliant young man. He became a Christian while attending college. Across from the campus was a traditional church. They wanted to develop a college ministry to students, but weren't sure how to go about it. One day, Bill decided to go worship there. He walked in with his wild hair, t-shirt with holes in it, jeans, and shoes with no socks. The service had already started. Bill walked down the aisle looking for a seat. But the church was full that morning. By now, people were looking a bit uncomfortable, but no one said anything. Bill got closer and closer to the front when he realized there were no seats. So, he just sat down right there on the floor in the front. Although perfectly acceptable behavior at a college fellowship, this had never happened in this church. By now, the people were really uptight, nervous, and the tension in the air was thick. About that time, a deacon slowly made his way down the aisle toward Bill. This deacon was well respected in the church. He was in his 80s, a distinguished man with silver gray hair and a three-piece suit. He walked with a cane. It took time for the man to reach the boy. The church became silent, except for the clicking of the man's cane on the tiled floor. All eyes focused on him. When the elderly deacon got next to the boy, he slowly dropped his cane to the floor. With great difficulty, he lowered himself down and asked Bill, "May I sit with you?" The man sat down next to Bill and worshiped with him so he would not be alone. Guys, that's what the birth of Jesus for me is really about. It's about radical action. It's about radical behavior. It's about radical gospel, radical Savior. It's about a radical Father. About meeting people's needs. All these people this morning were saying this and this and, you know, pray for this person, pray for that person. We had a lot of needs just in our little church fellowship. And thank you guys for meeting those needs. We pray and hopefully put action with our prayers too, right? Now I'm pretty sure most folks in this traditional church were shocked. And I'm pretty sure those shepherds were shocked on that Christmas night, don't you? Can you imagine the reaction of those shepherds when those angels came on the scene? They were scared to death. You know why? Because in that period of time, it was understood that the appearance of angels meant God was bringing His wrath upon them. Now, to claim, you know, calm their fears, the angels said what? They said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy. Today, a Savior is born." And then after that, the heavenly choir began to play and to begin to sing. It was beautiful. In the midst of that ordinary night, those ordinary shepherds encountered an extraordinary God. The shepherds had to be surprised. They had to be surprised that God broke into, everybody say broke, that God broke into their ordinary lives. And for us, Christ sometimes breaks into our lives when we least expect it. Just one text, just one phone call, God can break into our lives with a blessing. He can also break into our lives with an opportunity to bless others. Just like that, right out of the blue. And then when God breaks into our lives and offers His grace and His mercy through the gift of His Son, the response for most people is cheerful and it's joy and it's excitement. Now, I know eventually after this, the whole world would celebrate the birth of Jesus. Yes, and we all know that, and we read it, we sing about it. But you know what's really true? The Bible tells us the shepherds eventually went back home. And guess what they did? They went back to work. Right? We read in Luke's account, baby Jesus, it brings us joy. It makes us feel good. It's exciting. And for most people, Christmas time is an exciting time with all of our music, our church activities, our family get-togethers and parties and holiday festivals, open presents under the tree and all the Christmas spirit that comes on. But then, like the shepherds, we go back to life. We go back to work. Our routines are so predictable and our schedules are so programmed. Our children are so busy with schoolwork, social activities, sports, and church. Our days are so packed with stuff. I wonder if we ever allow ourselves to just live, just enjoy the moment, enjoy our time, enjoy what God has blessed us with. And yes, I want you to get the message of Jesus, Savior of the world, yes. But right here is really what I feel God wanted us all to get. And that's this right here. You ready? Let's go back to the manger scene. We hear angels singing and shepherds hurrying about. And then we see Mary pondering. Verse 19. This is, we read it. Some of us just went right over it. But it's okay. I've done that too. Verse 19, this is what it says. You're good, brother. Thank you. It says, but Mary, everybody read it together. Ready? One, two, three, go. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Guys, she was taking the time to take it all in. Here she is holding the Savior of the world. She knew that, right? But she was treasuring it up. She was just looking around her of what's going on, and she was treasuring it up, taking it all in. I feel like sometimes I think we need to slow down, and we need to ponder. We need a little of that in our lives. I pray that we start today to slow down and ponder. Look for those captivating moments that we can remember. Those captivating moments that we can remember. Because just like them, we will go from, like these four angels that came up here and sung that beautiful, beautiful song. We will go from angels singing glory to God to the daily ticking of the clock. We all know that. The challenge for us is to always find ways of celebrating the presence of God in our ordinary moments, in our ordinary everyday. Find Jesus. Find the presence of God. Maybe it's just a smile from a friend. Maybe it's just the sharing of a meal. Maybe it's just good music. Let's all be mindful to take it all in like Mary. Take it all in like Mary and then act like the shepherds. See, when the Christmas dust cleared, the shepherds went back to work. But something was different this time. They met Jesus. Yeah, they went back to work, went back to life. But they began to talk about baby Jesus. They began to talk about him. Verse 20 says this, and we'll close. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen as it had been told to them. Guys, Christmas is Jesus Christ's story. It's the greatest story that's ever been told and that will ever be told. So I want to encourage you guys, when you leave here today, go and tell it on a mountaintop. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for this precious gift. Jesus, we thank you for being born and then going to the cross for us. So Father, there's someone here this morning that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Or during this song of invitation, I pray that they will come down and give their life to Christ. I'll be glad to pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen.